The Murray State Basketball Podcast is brought to you by the Murray Flower Company. If you're in Callaway County and need flowers, the best place to go is the Murray Flower Company. Whether you're celebrating a new arrival, the life of a loved one, or any point in between, the Murray Flower Company has you covered. Visit them on the square in Murray at 403 Maple Street or online at murrayflowercompany.com. Happy Sunday and welcome in the Murray State Basketball Podcast Ride Home Edition as the Racers take down UIC 81-64 yesterday afternoon at the CFSB Center, and a lot to get to in the game, which we will get to in just a moment, but want to start out with really the neat day with Cameron Payne coming back to Murray and having the number one now officially hanging from the rafters with the rest of the all-time greats in Murray State history. It was just, it was neat watching his enthusiasm for the moment. This was something that I think if you paid really any semblance of attention to Cameron over the years, this was important to him. And I think that was pretty obvious yesterday, how this was not a too cool for school moment. He was bursting with pride and joy and happiness to see that number one upstairs, I believe in between Ja Morant and Isaiah Cannon there on the right side. On the right side of the rafters above the Murray State bench. It was a big moment for him. And I think the enthusiasm for the moment, if there was anybody in the building that for whatever reason was not won over by him and by number one going upstairs, I think that all melted away. Because he could not have been any more taken by the moment. And it's interesting looking back as I think about it, there are certain, and I'm just thinking back to the jersey retirements that I have been there for. I don't know, this was maybe 2006, 2007 when Johnny Reagans was retired. And of course, he was certainly much older in life when his was done. I was there when Marcus Brown's was put up top, and that was a cool deal, and obviously one that was certainly long overdue. One of the absolute all-time greats there. Ja Morant's was, and again, he had just left. That was what was different about Ja's, was he had just left. And it almost just felt like, look, this wave, this jaw wave that we're all riding, it was like, let's just keep riding it. It's going to go up at some point. Might as well just have it go up now. And, you know, that was a night. I mean, that place was all but full and was a really, it was, and again, I guess it's the difference between knowing it's happening and then not knowing and being surprised. And that one, that's the one that goes to Isaiah Cannon's jersey retirement ceremony, which I remember was, it was during, he was back for the Hall of Fame. And I just remember him being on crutches, and one thing led to another. I don't know how I learned about it, but that was the night that Alan Ward was like, we're going to retire it tonight. And, you know, the place was a huge crowd. And once I caught wind of it, I asked Alan, I was like, look, I want to put a microphone on you. Yep, that's fine. And so it was neat to get some of the kind of behind the scenes moments to it where, you know, we said, all right, everybody, they go through, they honor everybody at halftime and all the Hall of Fame honorees, and then it's like, hey buddy, why don't you just stay out there, we've got something to give you. And Isaiah was just like, okay, whatever, no problem. You know, he never saw it coming. he never saw it coming. And so when Allen went into his little speech, and I think Isaiah thought he was probably just getting some sort of plaque or something else to, you know, put in the office at home. And then it's like, oh, by the way, the number three is going to hang for the – I mean, he was overcome with emotion. And that was awesome. And that – it was so neat to see. And that was yesterday. Cam, while there were no tears on his side, we got him out of Steve Prohm, that while he knew it was coming – the emotion, again, while it wasn't tearful emotion, it was just joy emotion out of Cam. And it was awesome to see. And it's been a minute since he's been back. You know, I think back, I it might have been, you know, certainly it been at a game. And I think back, it was probably the 15-16 season. Like, it was his rookie year. And I only remember that because that was the night that, for a story for the TV station, I dressed up as Dunker for a half and almost died of dehydration. I've never been so hot in my life. And at halftime, as I peeled all of the Dunker outfit off me, and then I went and interviewed Cam at halftime. I don't know that he's been back to a game since. So it's great to have the legends back and to be able to sort of get him in the queue. It was great to see his son's teammates and some coaches also come with him yesterday. It reminds me of when he was with Oklahoma City, and his number was retired down at his old high school in Memphis at Lausanne, and Kevin Durant and, you know, guys like that went to support him for that. So a neat deal yesterday, a neat deal. And maybe most significantly on the court, the Racers took advantage of that goodwill and rolled on 81-64 as they took down UIC. In a game that was oddly, I think maybe it was just that situation where you had a little PTSD coming off the other night at Northern Iowa, where, you know, Murray's up 19, I believe it was, in the second half, which was not 9 at Northern Iowa, but you're just like, okay, we've seen them, we've seen leads get away. And so it's like, okay, it's 17, you know, it's 15, 17. Felt like UIC was on the ropes. Can they put this thing to 25 and just put it away? And they didn't. But it never got to single digits. It was kind of that uncomfortable 10 or 12. And then 10 and 12 and 10 and 12 and 10 and 12. But it never got to single digits. And so I thought, from that standpoint, it was a positive step forward on this team learning to close games and learning to finish stuff out, especially with the foul trouble that they had to deal with in this game. I don't know that I've ever seen a team. I don't know that I've ever seen a game of conference opponents. Sure, it's happened. Just don't remember it off the top of my head. Where one team outscored the other 50-10 in the paint. 50-10. 50. 50 of Murray's 81 coming in the paint. And that's a good reason why they shot 57% for the game, shot 68% in the second half. They have got dudes that can finish at the rim. Kenny White had 11, three times getting to the paint and finishing at the rim. We saw him finish in transition, absolutely where his strengths lie. He knocked down that early three, and I was like, all right, he made one. And then he comes down, it was like the next possession or two possessions later with about 25 seconds on the shot clock, and he pulled out. It's like, I just wanted to jump in front of the bus. Like, no. But that was the only one he took. Racers only took 13 threes. Look, you go 5 of 13, shot 38%. That's great. As we, you know, I feel like as much as we've waited on it this year, it's not a great shooting team. So if you're only going to shoot 13 times, that's fine. Especially when you're scoring 50 in the paint. Jacoby Wood, 8 of 9 from the field. Again, he continues his hot streak from beyond the arc, 3 for 3. But I think the big boost yesterday came from Brian Moore. 29 minutes, 29 minutes, 21 points. He goes 9 for 13 from the floor. 13 of those points coming in the second half. He has just shown really, and I think it goes back to the middle game right before Christmas, that he has just shown the exponential offensive growth. Something has clicked for him. And it has been a huge lift to this team offensively. It's funny to look back that he scored 9 points at St. Louis, which I have literally no memory of whatsoever, which probably is what happens when it's been 10 weeks ago. 9 against SLU, 5 against A&M, 4 UMass, 3 Tulsa, 2 Chattanooga, nothing against Illinois State and Valpo, 4 against Bellarmine, nothing against Chicago State and Austin Peay, 10 against Middle, none against Evansville. That was, I think he was dealing with some illness at that point. Didn't play against SIU, but he comes back after that, kind of gets over the illness. 10 with Bradley, 14 Drake, 8 UNI, and then 21 last night in 29 minutes. There's somebody that has, and somebody in sort of in my Facebook page that has been talking about he needs to start. And again, sort of the exercise we went through the other night. You know, if he's going to start, who do you take out of the starting lineup? I'm not worried about who starts. I think it is, I think those are things that are important to some people. And sometimes it's important to the players. And I think sometimes when you've sort of set a starting lineup, if there's not a significant reason, sometimes injuries kind of can organically make those changes. But guys will start. That's fine. Who finishes? Who plays? Dude played 29 minutes. And he was there in closing time to put this thing away. I think that's... To me, that's more significant than having your name called by the PA announcer. Especially when the coaching staff has to do the calculus of, if this guy comes out of the starting lineup, am I losing him? Because those are the intangible things that people don't necessarily think about. If I take this guy out, how is it going to affect him? And does it affect the greater good? I mean, we saw with Steve couple games ago, I guess it was the Bradley game, where Quincy Anderson started. Quincy Anderson was out of the game in 3 minutes because he screwed some stuff up. Doesn't matter who starts. Who's finishing? And boy, he finished. He was spectacular yesterday. He was great. I mean, he was 0 for 2 from 3. You take that away, he was 9 for 11 from 2. And how many of those were just getting to the basket? He has shown the ability to get to the basket and finish through contact. It has been tremendously impressive here for the last 3 weeks or so, as he's really picked up and given them that boost off the bench. Speaking of off the bench, more Morgan Murray. Murray State was probably in foul trouble yesterday that I'm not sure we've seen at any point all year. And that has been the concern with this team, is we only play 7 guys. What are they going to do if they get in foul trouble? Well, the 7 has definitely, it has grown. You know, it has grown to a consistent 8, and 9 is getting in there a little more often. Yesterday, Quincy Anderson just played 8 minutes, but we saw Justin Morgan get 14 and Sam Murray get 14. And the reason for that, there was a huge chunk there in the first half where Jamari Smith on the bench with foul trouble. Rob Perry on the bench with foul trouble. DJ Burns just out of the game. And to see those three guys, it was just like, I'm sitting there looking, and I was like, no Rob, no Jamari, your two best offensive players, and then no DJ, your best rebounder, and the lead just maintained and even grew a little bit into double figures. I thought that was that might have been as significant of a 5-minute stretch as it's on the short list of most significant 5-minute stretches of the season. Just for confidence, whether it's for the players, whether it's for the coaching staff, whatever, that to be able to be like, okay, our top dudes don't need to play and we can get these other guys out there and they can hold the fort down. And I thought that was really big. Sam Murray, 14 minutes, 6 points, 7 rebounds. He was everywhere. And the one thing about him, it felt like we started to see now the development has begun with his offensive game. Not developed, but the development has begun. The oven has been on preheat with him this year. And the cake is finally in the oven now. I mean, he put that one dude in the spin cycle down low. It was a thing of beauty. And he is, at this rate, he may already be there. But he, excuse me, he is going to be beloved by this fan base. And again, I think he's already there. Because again, he's another one that just plays with such rampant enthusiasm. Encouraging teammates. Diving on the floor. Blocking shots. But I mean, again, you can get 7 rebounds in 14 minutes. All day, baby. All day. He was super, super impactful. Coming off the bench as well there along with Brian Moore. Again, Brian Moore had 5 rebounds, which was which you don't expect with your point guard, but you will certainly take it. Let's see what else we got going on here. Obviously, things got a little stale in the second half. You know, they're up. It was 47-30, so you're up 17 with about 17 minutes to go. And that's when Jamari got his 4th foul. Had to go to the bench. I think of his 5 fouls, as he ultimately did foul out in just 16 minutes, off the top of my head, I believe 3 of his fouls were offensive. Like, one of them was a charge. 2 of them were a moving screen. I had somebody reach out to me and say that it was an OVC whistle yesterday, which I get, you know, it's one of those things I've seen. Murray seems to get called, and it's a lot of times it's Jamari, either Jamari or DJ. They get called for 1 moving screen a game. It's usually on that when one of them comes out to the 3-point line with the ball and they do the handoff and they do a little bit of the hip shift where they're just trying to do the handoff and screen and they end up bumping him. Yesterday seemed to be a little bit on overdrive from the officials, and that was the part that was surprising, that this has been, especially in conference, these have been physical games, and at times maybe too physical where it could get dialed back a little bit with a few more whistles. But yesterday just felt like there was a lot of ticky-tack stuff. A lot of ticky-tack stuff. And that's why, when you look at it, that's why Jamari Smith played 16 minutes, you know, and ended up with 5 fouls. Jacoby Wood had 4. His 4th came late in the game. Rob Perry, you know, had a little bit of issue as well with the fouls. But you look at it, and again, we saw this the other night. I guess this was at Drake last week. where Jamari and Rob barely shot the ball. It wasn't really a foul trouble issue. We talked a little bit about a scouting issue and so on. A part of the reason why things, you know, got away there on top of all the defensive issues. But, you know, Rob, 29 minutes, only 5 shots yesterday. Jamari Smith, 16 minutes, 7 shots. He was a little more aggressive sort of in the shot per minute category. But the fact that there were points in this year where you're like, if these dudes, if we're not getting 40 out of Rob and Jamari combined, it's going to be tough to win. And for yesterday, for them to get 17 and to still go on and win by 17, I thought that was a really good sign. I thought that was a really good sign. Still, I'm just blown away. 50-10 points in the paint. Only turned over UIC 9 times, but turned that into 16 points. I mean, just incredible efficiency of, we've turned you over and now we're going to make you pay. 9 offensive rebounds turned into 11 second chance points. So all of those little intangible stats where you're getting extra possessions for the Racers came through for them in a big way. So 81-64, now 10-8 overall, 5-3 in the Missouri Valley. And now this is where the old rubber is going to meet the road. We have one more game today, which will be Indiana State on the road, 6-1 on the road at Missouri State, who is 4-3. Missouri State is a slight home favorite with that. But as we enter today, Indiana State 6-1. You've got SIU and Belmont at 6-2. And then Drake, Bradley, Murray, Northern Iowa at 5-3. So, I mean, if Missouri State is able to hold serve at home and beat Indiana State, you will then have 8 teams, 1-8, separated by 1 game. This is going to be a fun race. It's going to be a fun race. But we are going to find out over the next 4 weeks where Murray State fits in that race. It starts Tuesday night at Belmont, 8 o'clock, national TV, CBS Sports Network. But their next 8 games at Belmont, home for Indiana State, at SIU, home for Missouri State, home for Belmont, at Indiana State, home for Drake, at Bradley. Those teams are part of that top 8. Where do you fit in that mix? We are going to find out. We are going to find out. The computer numbers, again, whatever mileage may vary on them, they have skewed a little now. The KenPom numbers now have Murray projected 11-9 in conference instead of 10-10 the last time we visited them. But 11-9 is still somewhere between 6th and 8th. So it is got to hold serve at home, try to steal 1 or 2 on the road. Yesterday they did what they were supposed to do. They took on a 1-6 team and they took care of business in a big way at home on a big stage with a lot of eyeballs. On a national TV, a regional TV at least, game on the Bally Network with Cameron Payne in the house. Good to get that one, and good to get to 5-3. And now, for a year full of new, it's time to go visit an old friend and go back to the Curb Center and go take on Belmont Tuesday night on national TV, as we have seen so many times over the years. Just not an ESPNU game or an ESPN2 game. This time it'll be on the CBS Sports Network, but a huge one for the Racers on Tuesday night. And I feel like we're going to be able to say that pretty much every game moving forward here. The table's been set. We're 8 games into the 20-game schedule. You're 5-3, feeling good. Now it's just a matter of, it feels like everyone is just amplified a little bit more as you move forward, trying to wiggle your way into one of those top four seeds so you can avoid playing on opening night in St. Louis coming up in March. And frankly, bottom line is, right now, that's not the goal. The goal is still to win a conference championship. And within 12 hours, Murray State could be one game out of the lead with 12 to go, which means that goal, you don't have to start going to the secondary goals of, well, let's just try to get a top four. The championship is still out there to be grabbed. So we'll see how that moves going forward. All right, that does it for now for the Ride Home version of the Murray State Basketball Podcast. We will be back tomorrow, hoping to get a player interview tomorrow en route to before the Racers hit the road to Nashville to go take on Belmont. Thanks for listening, as always, Murray State Basketball Podcast. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe, Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you find us. Have a great Sunday. We'll talk to you tomorrow.